Thanksgiving is only 2 days away, and likely many of you have already made your grocery store run and have food in the fridge. You may be hosting this year, and the responsibility of cooking that juicy turkey falls on you. Or maybe you're packing up the car and heading to a family member's or friend's with a side dish or a dessert. If Thanksgiving is a holiday you're celebrating with a big meal, then this show is for you. It's our annual Thanksgiving meal show. Welcome to The Sound of Ideas. I'm Jenny Hamill. We've invited four local food and drink pros, from chefs to bakers to drink mixologists, into our studio to bring in some of their favorite dishes and drinks and talk about the food, the traditions, and some of their favorite memories. And we want you to call in with your questions about how to make Thanksgiving shine. This conversation is coming up. First, the latest national and local news. It's The Sound of Ideas from Ideas Room Public Media. I'm Jenny Hamill. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and many of us are in the thick of it preparing for Thursday's big meal. You may be chopping up those onions and pulling the turkey out of the freezer as we speak, or maybe you're searching online for a completely new recipe to try this year. Well, today, we've got a bustling studio. I love it. We're talking all about Thanksgiving cooking, as well as sharing Thanksgiving memories. And we have invited four local food and beverage connoisseurs to bring some delicious samples to the studio, lucky me, and answer any cooking questions you might have for the big day, such as whether to bake or fry your turkey and what cocktail might go with cranberry sauce. It is our annual Sound of Ideas Thanksgiving cooking show. And joining me in studio, we have Chef Mono Bun, owner of Phnom Penh Restaurant in Cleveland and North Olmsted. Welcome, Mono. His daughter, Jeanette Bun, is also here. She works at the restaurant, and she is here to help for her father, Mono. Thanks, Jeanette, for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, so great to have you. You both look lovely in your attire.
Thank you very much.
We've got Chef Ricardo Sandoval, owner of Fat Cat's Restaurant in Cleveland. Thanks so much, Ricardo, for being here.
Good morning.
You also look lovely in your attire.
Right. My baseball cap, right?
Your baseball cap and t-shirt. Man, you're doing it up. But I love your representing the restaurant. Okay. There you go. We've got Josie Rivera, owner of Josie's Bakery in Broadview Heights, with some delicious looking desserts. Thanks for coming in, Josie.
Thank you. Good morning. And thanks again for be here. It's an honor. Thank you.
It's an honor for us. So thank you. And last but not least, we've got Timothy Baxter, better known as Baxter, owner of Baxter's Speakeasy in Akron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This is a festive studio. It's making me feel excited for Thanksgiving. I'm already getting the sense of a delicious meal. So throughout this hour, we want you to call in and tell us what you're making this Thanksgiving. If you have questions for our pros, please call in with those. You can call now at 866-578-0903. You can also email us at soi@ideastream.org, or you can tweet us. We are at Sound of Ideas. And since there's delicious food on display in the studio, for those of you listening, if you're at home and want to stream our live web stream, just click on or go to the ohiochannel.org, and you can see a live stream of this show and get a visual of what we are talking about. So let's start about going around the room and talking about our favorite dishes. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Ricardo. Ricardo, you're here with some barbecue pork as a side, which is an interesting substitution to traditional, let's say, mashed potatoes or green bean casserole. Tell us more about your dish while I try some.
Okay, sounds great. You know what? It won't be a substitute definitely for mashed potatoes or turkey, but it definitely is a side dish that we use. And so this is a Filipino dish. It's called pancit. You can do pancit with pork, which Filipinos love. So I made barbecue pork belly, and what we sell at the restaurant a lot of. And the noodles are basically a combination of, growing up, I used toasted Cantonese noodles. That's what my dad, basically taught me how to cook Filipino. He's from the Philippines, from Lucen area. My mom's here from the United States. She was a nurse, doctor, comes here, meets nurse, gets married. And that's probably been replicated many times.
I love
that. So this is basically my sister, Renee, basically mix the two, because it was non-traditional growing up to having the toasted Cantonese, which what we used, and most of the Philippines, when we were part of Paso growing up, used basically the vermicelli noodle. So we combine both of them. And so what we're doing is, you know, we're cooking both noodles together, and then we go ahead and we dress them with some vegetables. And the pork is something that you cure. You cook for about 3 hours, you chop up into pieces, and then I make a homemade barbecue sauce and we toss it. And so we just present it that way. So this is just a great add-on to, like, the parties that we always have. We always bring something Filipino to, like, just about any occasion.
And I love that. So you're not saying that this would go instead of a mashed potato or a traditional side, but just as another dish.
Yeah.
With heavy on the protein, which is great. And it's got your Filipino upbringing, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the balance of the two. My mom's from here, so it's traditional Thanksgiving. My dad's Filipino. And so it's always, you know, everybody, we just love this. Even though it won't be the dominating feature of Thanksgiving, it's definitely something that we can get a taste of. So that's really, really good.
Okay, so Jeanette, are we able to come to you and your dad from the Phnom Penh restaurant? I'd love to know, Jeanette, and I'm going to ask Mono, what dish you all brought in for us to try this morning?
Today, he's taking cha kreung marapro, chicken, and salad Phnom Penh chicken from our signature restaurant.
And is this signature dish Cambodian, Vietnamese?
It's Cambodian food.
Okay. And what was kind of the thought into bringing this kind of dish as a possibility for a Thanksgiving meal?
Thanksgiving. It's a popular dish in Cambodia. Especially the cha kreung marapro chicken. Everywhere in Cambodia, if you go to Cambodia country, if you mention the name cha kreung marapro, everyone know that.
So it is a standard Cambodian dish.
Exactly, yes.
Is it something that you might have for your Thanksgiving meal?
That is correct. Most often, we always have it on the Thanksgiving.
Okay, great. That's perfect. Okay, I'm going to go to you now, Josie. You've got three awesome-looking desserts. Can you do just a little explanation of each dessert that my mouth is watering over?
Well, my dishes are the happy hour on the dinner. So I bring today apple galette with a little Latino touch. So I put some dulce de leche for decoration. And I bring pavlova. And some merengues with almonds, so ideas for dessert. So I believe pies is very like for holidays.
Sure.
Especially for Thanksgiving. And I love galettes because it's easy to manage.
How is it different than a pie?
It's a French pie. Actually, in France, they celebrate a Epiphany every 6th of January. So it's the real name of the galette means a cakes of kings. So for the Epiphany. So it's very like for holidays, I think, so it's perfect. And you can do with a blueberry, raspberry, with it's very easy to make with a fruit. And you can do savory too, with mushrooms or goat cheese, feta cheese, spinach. So it's very versatile. Yeah. And pavlova, I love French meringues. Pavlova is an Australian dessert. So I did with almond and a little bit of custard and cream and some strawberry in the top. And it's beautiful for decoration, and the table with that red color look very nice in your table. And of course, the meringues, if you do a pavlova, you can, your extra. Your meringues, and it's easy to for manage with you have a lot of people, so that's my dishes for today.
And Josie, can I ask your background?
Yes, I'm a housewife. So I start to cook in my kitchen. I always love to cook, and my love for kitchen start with my grandmother. And my grandmother was in my grandfather coffee farms, so they had in my country those big houses with a big kitchen,
sure,
with a big oven. So I did have that blessed to cook with her, and those big ovens doing cookies for everyone. So I believe cook is something where you can express your love for the people you love, and means a lot. So I start to cook and take classes, and I did have the opportunity to live in Trinidad and Tobago, where I take some pastry classes over there.
Oh, wow.
So I did have the opportunity to have with a chef. She's from Portugal, and she is studying in France. So that why I do have a lot of influence, European influence, but I always like to have my touch with Caribbean flavors or Latino flavors. So, it's just be in the kitchen all the time, almost my old background, but I took me 18 years to be here. So a lot.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Let's go to Baxter. You brought a whole kind of arsenal of drink supplies and beautiful bottles. And even, I'm seeing celery, I'm seeing ginger, I'm seeing lemons, even some, what are those?
Leeks.
Leeks, that's mm-hmm. right. I should know that. So how does that all go into drinks? What are some of the beverages that you have in mind for a Thanksgiving meal that you brought in?
Absolutely. So again, thank you for having me.
Of course.
One of the things that we're definitely known for at Baxter Speakeasy in Akron is this portion of our menu called the Choose Your Own Adventure menu.
Okay.
And so what I'm doing today is a take on two soups, actually, as a cocktail, right?
Wow.
So I'm really into savory. So what I've prepared today is something that I'm calling a pho au foie. It's a take on the classic French soup called pot au foie, which translates to pot on fire.
Wow.
So the idea is kind of everybody comes to Thanksgiving, everybody brings a side dish. Rather than getting rid of all of those trimmings, bring everything, let's put it into a pot.
Wow.
And kind of, you know, during the season, we've all done, you know, like the orange and cranberries and cinnamon on the stove. It's like this wonderful aromatic. So the idea is having this savory aromatic where everybody kind of has the opportunity to add to it.
Wow.
And then the longer that it sits, the deeper the flavors come into it. And so with the Choose Your Own Adventure portion today, I've brought one of my favorite whiskeys, Uncle Nearest. It is the number one selling bourbon in the world right now.
What's it called again?
It's called Uncle Nearest Bourbon.
Hmm.
It's inspired by Uncle Nearest Green, who was the first POC master distiller on record.
Oh, wow.
It's also all POC women ran and operated. They are incredible. I've also brought a lovely soju. And I've also brought an aquavit, which is a Scandinavian grain-neutral spirit. So I brought three very different spirits for this sipping broth. And the idea is you can add, you know, these spirits into the broth itself and create a cocktail that way. Or, you know, everybody that, say, doesn't drink, so you have that aunt or uncle that you don't want to drink.
Sure.
You know, we all have those relatives, right? I've been that relative probably.
Your Uncle Baxter.
You know. but yeah, the idea is, you know, that everyone can partake, and, you know, whether you're It can be made vegan. So whether you're vegan or gluten-free, it's kind of a little, it's the communal pot, if you will. Which I think is, you know, why bars, watering holes, these community spaces are so important. So it's kind of my love for that and world cuisine, which is why I'm really excited to be here with these incredible chefs that are from all over.
I think I knew that we were going to have a really representative studio full of our food and drink pros, but this is really heartwarming to see. I'm half Korean, so my Thanksgivings, there was always a side of rice and kimchi with our turkey and the cranberry sauce and the stuffing and all of the things. So it's fun to see different cultures and ethnicities being brought to the table as well. But Baxter, it seems like even your drinks, even the actual spirits have this origin story. Why is that important to you?
You know, I think what really opened my palate up personally was years ago, I went vegan and that cut out, it really, you know, being in the Midwest where there, where, you know, these different populations of Laotian, like there's a huge Laotian population in Akron. It kind of forced me to expand my horizons out of your traditional meat and potatoes and open my palate. And it really opened my eyes and kind of created my obsession with food and alternative flavors. Because as a vegan, your best friend is, you know, the Asian food store, the African food markets. So I think representation is very important to me, and knowing the history of food and beverage. I'm a history nerd. So really understanding where things come from is I think why I have the different spirits and why, you know, that the representation is so important to me. Know what you're putting in, but also know the history of it. That's what I like.
And will you be taking this drink ensemble to anyone's house on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny. I've become the charcuterie person, having a bar and restaurant, being a chef and a mixologist and a sommelier. It's my family is... They're like, let us do all the heavy lifting. You bring the meat and cheese. But, you know, I'm really trying to go away from that traditional meat and cheese aspect as well and have, you know, that drinking broth, that alternative drink that will also, you know, help you sleep, relax you, you know. I'm just here for the alternatives, yeah. But also, with that being said, this is also about to go on our menu as well with our broth backs for our winter menu. I hot savory drinks, and that's another thing too is I love cocktails, I love mixology, but I love food and beverage, and you're absolutely like that's something that's really important to me at my bar is having all of these mocktail options. You don't have to come to my bar and get drunk or get high. You can come for the community, you know.
Got
And I do say hi like through alcohol, obviously.
Right.
But also yay issue too. but yeah, which will also, as
Baxter's
soon as we can.
Baxter's having all the fun.
Which, you know, come check us out, 22 North High Street, Akron, Ohio. Follow us on Instagram at Baxter Speakeasy.
Oh, my God. I love
great
Baxter.
Great pitch, man.
Okay, let's do.
I'm a young entrepreneur.
I love it. And we support you in every
Thank
way.
You.
Let's get the turkey question out of the way. Everyone, it's on everyone's mind. Most people will cook a turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. So I'd love to start with you, Ricardo. Your approach to a juicy turkey for Thanksgiving.
Well, there's two ways. One is the wet brine and then the dry brine. So I do the wet brine. I'm actually doing a 22 to 24 pound turkey. And I'll just do salt water. I'll do a saltwater brine. If you want to put aromatics into it, you can. You could put, you could put coriander, you could put sage, you could put, thyme. And we just mix that around and just submerge the turkey. Now, that's not into that water, and then refrigerate it for 12 hours. But sometimes if your turkey's that big, it's like, where am I going to put that? I can't put that in the refrigerator unless I clear everything out. And so then you can go ahead and you can do a dry brine where you just do... the salt, do a salt mix with sage and thyme, and you could put, you could put all the dryness in there because the salt, what happens when you do like a straight salt brine, add sage, thyme, like I said, brown sugar, salt, pepper. You do a dry brine, you know, the water comes out, water pulls back in, it becomes juicy. So that's easier to do if you have a small refrigerator.
And that's
don't
the
have
whole point of a brine.
Yeah, the whole point of a brine.
Keep the juice in.
Yes. Now, when you do a wet brine, you take it out of the liquid, you rinse it off and dry it, and then you can go ahead and you can add butter to it and rub. You could do your butter mix, your mix with spices, like I said, sage and thyme and sugar, and you could rub the entire turkey. To me, I have a history of doing that a lot. That is probably the approach that I'm going to take this Thursday is do the wet brine, dry the turkey, do like a nice rub on it of butter. I'll add maple to it. I'll add sage and thyme. And then I'll roast it in the oven, and I'll start it at about 400 degrees for probably about 400 degrees for probably about 15 minutes, and then 325 based on the size of your bird. It could be like 18 minutes a pound. And so something that size probably would take 4.5 hours, you know, to cook. Something on the smaller end, like a 10 to 12 pound bird, probably about 2 hours or 2.5 hours.
And how long are you letting your birds rest? And give me maybe a difference in sizes.
Yeah, so like
actually an email from Daryl. I got to give him the credit. Daryl
okay,
wrote
great.
In how long should a turkey rest after roasting and before carving?
So we'll just, you know, turkey, steak, chicken, you let meat rest because you want the juices to redistribute inside. So if you just cut it right away, you'll see juices all over the counter. So you let it sit like 20, 25 minutes, especially a bird that big. If you try to carve that thing, not only will the juices run, it is hot. And I carve 3 turkeys during, I'm like the turkey guy, so I carve 3 of them every Thanksgiving. Wow. I carve not just the roasted one. There might be a turkey breast, maybe 4 also. There might be a deep fried one, a smoked one. So I do... Because I can work fast with a knife.
Jeanette likes that. Are we going
fast.
To Ricardo's for Thanksgiving?
Yes. I need one person to keep everybody away because the one problem is everybody comes around when I'm carving and starts grabbing meat, and that drives me crazy, especially
right.
my father.
That is
so
hilarious.
Basically, it's a time thing. You just have to be patient. Turkey's an easy thing to cook because there's not a whole lot of, like, whatever cooking to it. Like I said, the resting is important. You let the turkey rest, you let the steak rest, you let the chicken rest, let it rest on the counter. Let the juices go back in, redistribute, the temperature goes up on the turkey, and then you go ahead and you slice it.
Okay, I am going to take a break to basically give us an opportunity to start sharing around these dishes that we have and try each other's food and cocktail. So we are having a great Thanksgiving dinner conversation here in the studio of The Sound of Ideas. I'm Jenny Hamill. We're going to be talking about this and eating all of this when we come back. You are with The Sound of Ideas on this Tuesday morning. I'm Jenny Hamill. We are having a full studio conversation about how to best prep for our Thanksgiving meal. We've got a really diverse crowd in the studio. Chef Mono Boon of Phnom Penh is here with us, his restaurant in Cleveland and North Olmsted. His daughter, Jeanette Boon, who also works at the restaurant. Welcome to both of you again. Chef Ricardo Sandoval, owner of Fat Cat's Restaurant in Cleveland. Josie Rivera, owner of Josie's Bakery in Broadview Heights. And of course, we've got Timothy Baxter, owner of Baxter Speakeasy in Akron. Thank you so much for joining us. And Baxter, to kick off, this is unusual,
yeah.
But at 9:30 in the morning, we are going to have a toast and a Thanksgiving cocktail to continue with this conversation. So tell us what this is again.
Absolutely. So what we are drinking is a Vietnamese and French inspired drinking broth based on pot au foie and pho. And it's I've called it the pho au foie. So basically this is since it's early in the morning, let's talk like low ABV drinks right now. This is like perfect for like those family members that don't drink a lot, that drinking really early, that like don't need, like want to crash at noon. So we're going to be doing soju and our drinking broth. With that being said, the ingredients are all listed on my website as well. But this is kind of... When you look at the ingredients, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
So the
cheers,
idea,
everyone.
So the idea of this.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving. Actually having the tiniest cup of alcohol right now.
Yes,
cheers.
These cute little port glasses. So
from my
cheers,
family
Scout.
At Sound of Ideas to yours.
And thank you. And from Baxter Speakeasy family to all of you. So the idea is to do the shot and then have a sip of the broth to kind of clear your palate. With that being said, the broth is very hot.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's warm.
But
it does taste I went to Superior Pho the other day, and it does. It is reminiscent. Amazing
you.
Pho, by the way.
Delish.
It is reminiscent of a bowl of pho. So
when you look at the recipe,
thank you. You'll
see that there's like 20 different ingredients, but it is all kind of up to what you are cooking that day and your family, and again, like just putting everything in the pot. With that being said, this does have a full like turkey carcass in there. So we actually made like green chili enchiladas last night, and then this is like the leftovers, and then we it cooked for about 12 hours.
Wow.
So the longer you cook it, the deeper those flavors will get. What I will say real quick, if you're going to go over 12 hours, take those peppercorns out. Do not add citrus until the end. Otherwise, you'll end up with a bitter broth.
Oh, right. That's excellent. Sure. Okay. We have some people who've been waiting on the line to ask a Thanksgiving-related question. So let's go ahead to Jeff from North Royalton. Jeff, thanks so much for calling in to Sound of Ideas.
Good morning. Growing up in the 50s and 60s, we had turkey once a year. That was it, Thanksgiving. Now it's become a 24/7, 12-month-a-year meal. And at the first Thanksgiving, we didn't have turkey. That came much, much later. The first Thanksgiving meal was venison. And I'm wondering if any of the chefs have alternatives to turkey and or venison dishes.
So anyone have an alternative to turkey dish? And since we're staying in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I mean, we've all kind of brought some, but it seems like, Jeanette, I'm curious, will you ask your father, Mono, for someone who doesn't want to have turkey on Thanksgiving, you brought in a chicken dish. Are there other types of meats that you might offer up?
มันแม่นដាក់ចូលនៅក្នុងផ្សេងគេវិញហ្នឹងយើងមានសាច់ត្រីហើយយើងមានស្តេកមានអីផ្សេងៗទៀតហើយស្រីមហើយស៊ីហ្វូដ
Okay, we can use the besides just the chicken or turkey, we can use steak, shrimp and like fish.
And is there a way that you would maybe prepare one of those?
មានវិធីណាដែលយើងរៀបចំ
those
food or those meat that we prepare before the Thanksgiving, we like either cooking or boiling or frying or baking or grilling.
Okay. So Jeff mentioned venison. I don't know if that's in anyone's wheelhouse, but is there something kind of similar or reminiscent that you all have maybe used as kind of a meat main dish that you can substitute a turkey with?
Well,
this is Ricardo.
This is Ricardo from Fat Cats. And the venison dish, it's just like any like other meat, though. There's different cuts of venison. So I would imagine if you had something that was of a tougher cut, you would just braise it long term and cook it. And then something like a steak, you would just grill. Like, I don't eat venison. A long, long time ago, I had venison, and it wasn't my particular tasting. But, you know, substituting, you know, like I said, for turkey, if you're a carnivore, you obviously can use chicken or whatever, or you can use steak or any kind of meat or seafood. But I'll go to a different alternative to a vegan substitute, which I'm using at the restaurant. We have a takeout meal program on Thanksgiving between the hours of 11 and 3. And so what I do is I use tofu. And so I'll marinate tofu in the combination of lemon juice, sesame oil, ginger, in soy sauce, marinate that for probably about 2 hours, and I'll take it out, and then I'll roll that in flour kind of like a flour wet mix, and I'll roll it into a mixture of cashew and panko, and then I'll crisp that up, and then you have this nice different flavor. So that's our vegan approach to Thanksgiving with all the sides that are also vegan. But that's a substitute that's that I'll use outside of that. But if you're going to stick on the carnivore side, you would just substitute something that you would like.
And Josie, I'm curious what your approach to the Thanksgiving main protein is. Do you stick with the traditional turkey, or do you have other types of meats or non-meats that you like as a kind of the big main central dish?
Well, we do turkey, but my turkey is very, very Latino. my turkey is with jalapenos, olives, and salsa chipotle, and the gravy is with chile poblano and cheese.
Wow.
So
we're snapping our fingers saying yes.
Yeah.
So because for me, in my country, we do have a lot of influence. I'm from Honduras, Central America, sorry. And we do have a lot of influence, American influence. So we celebrate, believe it or not, Thanksgiving, mostly at the time in the schools, but it's just turkey leg and that's it. And when I came here, I like a lot of flavor in my food. So turkey is a little simple. For me, it's a little different of the chicken. So then I start to, I have to make a recipe with a lot of flavor. So I start to put like olives inside, jalapenos inside, and salsa chipotle in the top. And I then cover the turkey and for 4 hours. So those flavors, like the jalapeno, olives, and together, and the chipotle have a lot of flavor, the turkey. And then when you slide the turkey, your gravy, I do with chile poblano and heavy cream, and cheese.
Wow.
And so that's your gravy for the turkey. So it's a lot of flavor, and it's not spicy.
Oh, it's not spicy.
It's not spicy. It's a perfect flavor. It's no spicy, so that's because I don't like too spicy the food, because you lose the flavor of the food.
Sure.
So that's my
You don't want a mouth on fire.
Exactly.
<Right.
yeah.
laughs>
I'd like to read an email. Eileen from Avon Lake called, and she said, are there any ideas for stuffing for people with celiac disease? So does anyone have any thoughts on that? Or I guess with celiac disease, if people don't know about stuffing specifically, I guess gluten-free options for meals that might be used on Thanksgiving.
I mean, there's gluten-free breads out there, and then you can use quinoa. There's another
that's a good idea.
You can use another grain and just substitute it in there.
Yeah.
For stuffing. And it's just the idea of just, you know, the components of stuffing, you would just, the basis would be gluten-free, and then the components would basically be the same, you know. And obviously if you used like a broth, you would use a vegetable broth of some sort. But, you know, you would use sage and thyme and, you know, the celery, carrots, onions, if you'd like. And then there's vegan butter out there if you want a rich, like a buttery type flavor to it, too. So there's many substitutes out there.
Okay, I want to go to Baxter and ask him, what of these dishes have you tried as of yet? None.
Of the dishes that we have right now?
Mm-hmm.
I am trying them right now, obviously. Oh, my gosh. I'm so
sorry.
I thought we were
going
to try them together. I'm so sorry.
No, that's
when
okay.
When we did all the shots together, I was like, cheers, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers.
I am trying.
Okay, you try them, and
Mr.
I'll
Bones.
Tell you what I have.
Yes.
I have so far tried Mono's chicken dish and Jeanette's chicken dish from Phnom Penh. Again, tell us the name of this chicken. And I'm noticing a little bit of heat in it, and it's very good. So I'd love to hear how you made this, and tell us again the name of the chicken dish.
แลมลิว เวเมียน ทามาริก เวเมียน เพียล กาเล็ก เวเมียน ไซยอด ให้ ยัง mix together ยัง mix ทั้ง อ๋อ ยัง กัน เวีย อันนี้ ยัง บ้าน จิ เครื่อง เปียก ถ้า เครื่อง คือ ปุ๊ สลัก เกรย์ ปุ๊ สลัก กรอย ไซด์ ปุ๊ กาลันกาล ปุ๊ ทามาริก ปุ๊ นังไอ้ยังมิดต้องออกนี้ให้บ้านจีเกลืองให้ยังโยตึคุกคุกยังดับปลายตาตามแต่ยังเมียนดูทายยังปลาปลายใส่ในขนมนั้นคือยังปลาปลายเยียนกรีนสเปน
I'll just keep sweet
eating onion green pepper หรือมุ้ยก็ red pepper ดักเลียขี้เนื้อไตยังมันคุกยังดักคลังดักไอไตให้ยังกำดาวเครื่องเนาะเอาเรียงช่วยให้บ้านยังดักสักมวน
โอเค it's a complex dish which deserved a complex answer
เวรียงบ้านติดหายดับใบเฟอร์เครื่องบ้านดับใบเฟอร์เครื่องดับใบจำเป็นมาพบในมุ้ยคือเวรียงไปบ้านติดปนใต้ดอกไปยังทะลับเฟอร์ไต้คือเวสรูสำหรับเนี่ยเฟอร์ใต้เนี่ยสำหรับบ้านติด
โอเค he said the dish name Cha Krung Maria Pro.
It's and do you offer this at the restaurant?
Yes, we do. We do have it in the restaurant. It's very popular. Everyone should know it. And it's a mixture of lemongrass, galanga root, tamarind, lamb leaf, garlic, shallot. You take all those spice, grind it all together to be like a paste.And after you got this paste, they call kreung, which is the name of cha kreung marapro. Cha in Cambodia means stir fry. Kreung is the paste that combination of the mixture of galanga root, all those spice, healthy actually.
Yeah, they're hitting my nose.
And stir fry all together with either chicken, steak, or we usually do the turkey too because the turkey have so much meat there. So you mix with those, slice the turkey, turkey meat.You know, like, because, well, if you use the regular chicken, he said, it's like less, like the whole chicken. So sometimes we do the turkey too, but we don't do the whole turkey. We cut in piece, and then slice.
So you use the turkey meat as a part of the dish, so it's cut up and just smothered in these flavors and onions.
Yes. So then you have more flavor in the chicken. Like, you know, like if you roast it, it's like dry, right? No flavor.So then you can use those for the cha kreung maria pro too. Either like if you are vegetable, you can add like tofu there, stir fry it. But you need the paste. And after that, you add whatever vegetable you have. Usually the common one in Cambodia is a sweet onion and green pepper or red pepper or yellow pepper. But for the vegetable people, like we serve in the restaurant, have mushroom, broccoli, carrot, you know, whatever you throw the vegetable that you like.Pea pot or green bean?
You know, I actually just came up with an idea. Is a great way to use maybe turkey leftovers could be with applying this delicious Cambodian type of paste marinade. And
that's a good idea.
Add a rich flavor.
Which is added to the salad Phnom Penh that we use the either chicken or the turkey, the leftover. When you roast the turkey, then you have like a long piece. Because like if you see, it's like a snake skin like here. So the big one, you peel it from the chest or the breast of the turkey. Put it there with the sauce here because we have all the salad Phnom Penh here with cabbage, carrot, bean sprout, basil, garlic sauce, and all these mix it up with the turkey, the leftover. You know, it's a good idea. But go back to the cha kreung maria pro, the sauce would have coconut meal too. Stir fry maria pro is one of the herbs.That in Cambodia they call like hot basil, which is the difference between hot basil and the basil is fresh basil, like Asian basil. You can eat raw with salad and so on. But this maria pro, you have to cook with this cha kreung maria pro. And then you crush the peanut on the top there to make it more.
I can taste all of it.
Heat up. But you know, peanut allergy, you can leave it up.
Sure.
So we have no choice too.
All right, Josie, I want to ask, when you've got some mains and some sides with a little kick and, you know, the mouth is a little on fire, what do you think are some good desserts to kind of juxtapose that kind of offer a different flavoring or something a little soothing? I mean, some of the desserts that you brought, I think, might be perfect for that.
Yes, well, actually, the pavlova is a great idea and it's gluten-free, too, if you have a guest.
Pavlova?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can add cream, you can add fruits, and the French meringues are gluten-free, too. So, and those, if you try those, melt in your mouth,
They're incredible.
Yeah. So actually, you can add fruit to the meringues too. Like you can find in the supermarket dry fruit, and you can put in that in the meringues, and they will have a fruit flavor too. So. Yeah, that's a good idea. Have is gluten free and everyone like it. So
awesome! And these meringues are incredible.
Oh, thank you.
They just kind of pop in your mouth and float away.
Thank you. That's the intention.
Baxter, do you have a Thanksgiving memory from childhood that's really kind of informed your approach to the holiday, or just makes you happy?
I think I definitely sorry, I like just had this like weird memory. I think I'm fortunate enough and to like have a lot of great memories because I come from a family where we're so spread apart that like all over that, you know, Thanksgiving was like our family reunion, mm-hmm. which it's honestly like my family, like we don't have family reunions, but Thanksgiving is like our family reunion, you know?
Sure.
But I think like a funny story. And then like, I want to talk about this food a little bit because I'm here for this Thanksgiving meal that we're having right now.
Yeah.
Being vegan for a long time, my mom, I'm Italian and Scandinavian and I come from a meat and potatoes family,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. But being vegan, that's, you know, again, going back to, that's like really what opened my palate was because my family were like, this is what we're having for dinner. If you want something, and like, that's how I learned how to cook, you know? My mom, is known for her lasagna. And one year, bless her heart, she was so sweet. Instead of omitting vegetables for the meat or anything, she omitted rice, this like rice porridge. And it was so questionable. and that's just like a memory that I hold dear. And then also, you know, the scary can-formed cranberry sauce is just like always like the staple. It's there. It's on the tray. It's just slowly melting and nobody ever eats it.
I love the canned cranberry sauce. I love the jiggle of the cranberry
sauce. It's satisfying. Yeah.
If you have a Thanksgiving memory, we still have about 10 minutes of the show. I'd love to hear from you. 216-578-0903 or 866-578-0903 or email us, soi@ideastream.org. Email from Derek said, my grandmother in Louisiana always made turkey gumbo with the carcass after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I always make a turkey gumbo after Thanksgiving now. And, you know, I feel like a turkey gumbo might be something that the kids might like. I'm always thinking about what would my kids also eat? That's a great idea to maybe turn it into something like a stew or a gumbo afterwards. Okay, let's talk about Ricardo's delicious dish. Again, remind us what we're eating.
Pork pancit. So Filipinos like pork, and the noodle dish is a combination of two noodles.
Mm.
I grew up with just, you know, my dad only used the toasted Cantonese noodles, and he was part of PASO, one of the founding members of PASO during the 1960s, which is the Filipino-American Society.
Okay.
That's located on Ridgewood in Parma. And so that was our rendition, but everybody else used the rice noodles. So it took about 35 years later, my sister decided to mix the two, marry the two, so we can, you know, be accepting to both noodles. And so that's what we do now. You know what I mean? That we do the rice noodle and do the toasted Cantonese noodles. And then we toss some, you know, some vegetables in there. And you can use whatever vegetable you want. And you can make it vegetarian, obviously. I use chicken stock, so this is meat-based. You could use vegetable stock, and that would be a vegetarian approach to it. I do barbecue pork belly. Filipinos like pork. You can barbecue tofu and put it in there. And then I do a little, probably a little bit of a twist on it, is I make a vegan kimchi. And so I doubt that because I dot the dish with a little bit of vegan kimchi. We like would serve this thing with lemon juice and soy, and that's how we would serve it. And so I don't.
Simple.
Yeah, simple. But I make it with soy already and some fish sauce and some chicken stock. So what I do is I omit that sauce, and now I just add the sour ingredient to it, which is a homemade kimchi, a vegan kimchi.
And I'm curious, you said you were juggling, carving maybe 3 to 4 turkeys.
Yeah.
How many people are going to be at your Thanksgiving?
There's about 25, 30 people. And so
Coming with their appetites.
Coming with appetites. And when you start carving turkey, like anybody that cooks in the kitchen, you want boundaries. People start approaching you, grabbing like turkey. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just need room to cut. But everybody's grabbing. And my own father stands next to me. It's almost
hovering.
Hovering. He could be sitting on my shoulder like a parrot. But he's always picking. I'm like, Pops, can you wait? I don't want to slice your finger. So what I do is I just trim. I cut the turkey as quickly as possible. But, you know, just been doing it forever. You know, when you're in the restaurant business and you cook, or if you make cocktails, you're going to be the go-to person to do, to help, to solidify, put together the meal at the crunch time. And so that's basically what I do, is I help. And, you know, during the carving phase, they all bring their turkeys and I just carve them up really fast and present them. So
that's great. And Mono and Jeanette, I'd love to know what your Thanksgiving dinner looks like. Who's going to be there and who's hosting?
Okay, got jump on that. ngày Thanksgiving nung ta yeung thua ai khla min mnu proman ne ai yeung thua ai khla
knong pe Thanksgiving pu yeung chraen ta thua ta kruosa yeung de hai met phyak ke nai phseing pi pro yeung nai ti nei keu yeung skual ta koun bong poun koun yeung ne nung ta panang hai khnea yeung men phai chi 5 neak 6 neak nung dae nei knong kruosa yeung yeung chum khnea ta panang pro yeung at sae skual ke.
Okay, so our Thanksgiving, my dad said, we celebrate in the house, like one of the day off for us, you know.
That's nice.
And we love it.
Are those few and far between? Are you in the restaurant a lot?
Yes. So we mostly, you know, eat in restaurant and so on. But like we have two locations, my brother in the other location and my dad, my mom in the other location. So Thanksgiving is like we get together. So we meet each other like around 10 or 15 that we have, because, you know, we have our kids, you know, my brother have two girls, I have boy and girl, and then my younger brother have his fiance and his, you know, friend,
you know,
over. So we mostly gather together, we enjoy the food, and we always have, like, my parents, they always, like, have all this different ingredient all the time, like a salad, and then she make like my mom, she make this salad, and then different salad, like a banana blossom salad, along with, you know, substituted like different years. Sometime, I believe this year she make turkey with, they call ragu in French, similar to curry.
Sure.
Curry, you know, from the turkey, because, you know, like the turkey, you know, like so big and cute. Usually, we do those kind of food.
Okay.
And then we do like with the kreung, you know, marinated. My mom marinated
sure.
too, like 4 or 5 dishes. We all gathering together and
that's
sometimes
great.
We have a meeting, you know.
Nice.
Like, hey, tell me what's going on there, you know, on the other side. You know, we mostly do the meeting too. But along well with singing and dancing, do tradition. And we think about our ancestor that, especially my dad, always into culture is very important for him. Ingredient, he always like advise us like, this is our culture, and you don't forget about, you know, kreung, you know, the flavor. And he said he really admire his ancestor, because he said he always
you got
said,
that all from them. Right.
Yeah, yeah. He always said, don't be lazy when the old cooking. You stay there, you learn that. That's why he can bring all the green cook and make a business living and feed all the children here.
We are running out of time, so I just want to take the last couple of minutes for everyone to kind of briefly tell me what Thanksgiving means to them. Josie, I'd love to start with you.
Well, for me, it's a beautiful day and when you can off. You can say thank you, God, for everything you have. So mean be together with the family, share memories every year. And it's very important moment for each family to say thank you, God, for how blessed we are.
And Baxter, what are you thankful for?
I think that it's about introducing your original, your old, and your new family. In this industry, family is your team. I think that's why a lot of restaurant family restaurants are family restaurants because it's going to become a family. And also that's the sacrifice that we kind of all make. Being in this industry is like, if you want to see us, we should work together. But I think it's about the blending of families. I don't think I've ever had a family celebration where there wasn't somebody there who wasn't there the year before, somebody new all the time.
Sure.
We're all about
inclusion.
Inclusion, always. I think it's about inclusion. Thank you.
We have a minute left. Ricardo, what are you thankful for? Or what does Thanksgiving mean?
Well, Thanksgiving is giving thanks. And for me personally, business has been busy and I'm thankful for that. But most importantly, it's getting together with family. You know, there's no guarantee in life, like what tomorrow brings. And so you get to see generally most of your family comes to the occasion. And there's like for me, I love cooking and working and with, you know, my brothers and sisters. And, you know, they're, you know, my sister-in-law and brother-in-laws and maybe family friends. It's just great, though, just getting together, you know, having, some great food. Generally, most people bring stuff to it, so you get to try their rendition or their approach to Thanksgiving. And then you have some beverages. You know, I should invite Baxter over here so I can make some beverages.
I think you guys would have an amazing group Thanksgiving.
Actually, invite everybody over and bring their food because this food is absolutely delicious.
We have 10 seconds. Mono, what are you thankful for?
Thanksgiving Day is a ថ្ងៃ ល្អ បំផុត សម្រាប់ ពួក ខ្ញុំ ដែល យើង ខ្ញុំ បាន ជួប ជុំ នៅ គ្រួសារ ទាំង អស់ គ្នា ហើយ ធ្វើ ម្ហូប ចែក គ្នា ញ៉ាំ ហើយ យើង នឹក គុណ ដល់ ដូន តា យើង ដែល បាន បន្សល់ ទុក នៅ អ្វី អ្វី ទាំង អស់ ដែល យើង មាន ពិសេស បំផុត គឺ ទឹក ដី
Great. Jeanette, will you translate that for him?
Okay. He said the Thanksgiving is the day that family gathering, thankful to the ancestor that give us good food, good ingredient, good place.
All right. Well, we are grateful for all of you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. When you do your meals, this is Jenny Hamill. This is The Sound of Ideas. We will speak with you tomorrow.